Season 9, Episode 12, Puppygate and Stripping as a Side Hustle. And a warning, this episode includes a discussion on stripping as a trade. We advise listener discretion. Alan reflects on a South Australian work from home, a Puppygate test of law, when a local government worker claimed workers' compensation for an injury she sustained working from home. In this instance, she tripped over a puppy fence she'd installed on the home to segregate her puppy from a pet bunny. But can you appeal an appeal? Sarah begs to know. Trades replies, short answer, yes, potentially anything. The apex of the court structure is the High Court. Alan presents the second case from Victoria about a construction worker, stripper, with a thumb injury, a decision in the County Court of Victoria. He leaves the team guessing about the sex of the worker and circumstances pertaining to the case. Listen in.
Bring it on, the kaleidoscope.
Hello, and welcome to the WoWork podcast. A series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trey Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Alan, have you been reading up on some very interesting developments?
Yeah, Trish, there's been a decision in the South Australian Employment Tribunal before three judges, and they've overturned or effectively overturned an earlier decision. Now, we talked about it. A very interesting decision where a person was working from home and she had a puppy with her, and she had the puppy in a puppy enclosure.
Yes.
And part of the reason to have the puppy in the puppy enclosure is she didn't want the puppy bothering a pet rabbit.
So, I remember the bunny. Yeah. There was a bunny in that.
Yeah, yep. There was a bunny. Yes. So in order to protect the rabbit, she had this fence up to contain the puppy. And her employer was a council, and she was successful, and she fell over the temporary fence she'd put up, and she'd fallen over that going for a cup of coffee whilst working, and then she made a workers' compensation claim and was successful. Insurer for the council appealed the decision, and they've effectively overturned it, which is really interesting.
Mm.
So what they've said is they've acknowledged that someone's home can be a place of work.
Yep.
Acknowledged that she was at her place of work, and so there's an immediate connection between employment and the injury. But then went on to say, it's not enough to find a causal connection between injury and employment. Employment must also be a significant contributing cause of the injury.
I was going to say contributing factors, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Which is difficult. Mm. And one of the tribunal members gave us an example. If one of your work colleagues had a bag of things sitting beside their desk, you got up and went for a cup of coffee and you tripped over their bag of shopping,
yep.
Would you be able to successfully make a claim? And I think in that example you would, because you'd definitely be at your work environment, but it's hard to see the difference between that and a home environment. A bag of shopping is a personal matter, and a puppy is a personal matter.
And especially if an employer has got, particularly during COVID, has asked you to work from home or has work from home policies, and accept the inherent risks in that by instituting those policies, because they also gain many benefits that we've talked about from from a flexible workforce, from attracting people, from a reduced real estate footprint, from all kinds of things that they can benefit from having work from home arrangements. So there's
absolutely
pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
So they've instituted this policy and they don't want to accept the risk inherent in somebody working from home then.
Well, I think the reverse argument is that if it's too risky from the employer's perspective, then they won't want people working at home.
But you can trip over lots of things, as you just said. So this is a confusing one. I can understand, you know, like most good lawyer wannabes, I can see two points of view, right?
Yes.
Multiple points of view on this. But it is a challenging one, big time, right?
I think that, and we've talked about this before, we think the... we talked about the difficulty for employers, and it's easy to manage an office. It's easy to manage the way the office is set out and the equipment within the office, certainly much easier than it is to manage people working at home. Their desk, their chair, the flooring, whether there's stairs,
the lighting, the people
yeah.
around you, whether yeah. or not you're exposed to any violence or interpersonal relations
yes.
with family members that are when you're clocked on versus clocked off, you know,
yes.
how that happens, you know.
But I think this might be a good step in in saying that if you're an employer, you're not liable for everything that might happen to an employee.
What about a journey claim, though? What about some states have journey claim and for worker compensation law? And you might say, well, that's in the course of your employment. But hang on, how I was driving, what was happening just to get to work, why is that different than I'm working from home, which has been authorized by work? So what happens in a journey claim? That's approved when you have a collision, a vehicle collision is what I'm referring to.
Yeah, well, it depends, like, on the state.
Was that in the course of my duties? Not necessarily driving an errand for work, just driving.
Well, I think it's something more tangible, not the journey ones, because they're always very contentious. But what about something like, use the shopping analogy the court used, what's if you're at work, we're here in this building, and it's Christmas, and everyone's going back and forth, they're doing a little bit of Christmas shopping, and that's tolerated. Well, lunch break, do what you like, it's your lunch break.
In fact, we learned I could shop up to an hour a day in some courts, like in the UK, and get away with it without employer permission, who said that was still a reasonable use, even though I'm using the company computers and the time I'm clocked onto the company.
But let's say
I'm
doing
my shopping.
Yeah, well, let's say you go physically down the road and you buy a few little extra things during your work hours, so you're not even claiming work time, and the phone rings, and it's an urgent work matter, and you drop your shopping bag in the hallway, and then Alan walks by because he's so focused on the report, he trips. So, first thing work's going to say is, well, of course, it's at a workplace, so your workers' compensation nexus is there. But the contributing factor, those contributing causal nexus components, would make me wonder, well, the janitor didn't, the supervisor didn't put the bag of shopping. Sarah's shopping was there, but to which you'd respond, well, didn't have time because you wanted that report so urgently, Alan, and you end up tripping over it. So, I wonder, what do you say to that, Alan?
I think it's very interesting. It's very interesting that it's not enough for it to be a work environment.
Yeah, because the actual thing that's part of it, and so that report clearly shows that, well, the further you're away from that bricks and mortar
geographically,
I think the more complex things are going to become. So short of being spied on and surveyed,
I think it's in an office environment.
Yeah,
the
you'll be fine.
Employer is always going to have an obligation to make sure that the walkways remain clear.
Yeah. And there might be some contribution, who knows, if it's goes down a common law path, there might be a bit of contributory negligence, but at least we can all agree on one thing, it happened in a work bricks and mortar environment. So what we'll see, the challenge to work from home will come back through appeals such as these.
But you guys have taught me that even if I were your employee and your worker, and I signed a document saying, sure, I want to work from home, and I realize that there could be some inherent risks, and I sign and waive my rights, blah blah blah, that waiver, that acknowledgement of what I could be subject to while I work in my own home doesn't necessarily hold up in court. Like, it's not necessarily, is that correct, Alan? That's often what you say, that's not necessarily a protective function for me to sign a waiver that I accept every risk inherent to me when I work from my home.
Waivers are fairly limited in their effect. They do work to some extent, but they don't work 100%.
Right.
To me, this appeal, this successful appeal, I think could be the start of employers, so PCBUs, irrespective of what they're called.
Person conducting a business or undertaking for international subscribers.
Challenging the original decision. Now, I understand when workers challenge them, most of the cases we've talked about in this podcast over the last few years have always been around workers being entitled to compensation. But what we've seen in this case that you've brought to the table, Alan, is the employer going, no, hang on a minute. This fence and this nexus and the contributory aspect of it and the injury, no, we're not going to wear this. And they've challenged it successfully.
So can it be challenged again? Help me understand the process. Can it be challenged again now, or is this it? This is the final?
I'm not sure if it can be appealed again.
Well, what is it?
An appeal on an appeal?
Unless there's an error in law. It might be fine.
Well, it could be an error in law. So, there might be. Look, yes, we might hear more.
Yeah, we might hear more. Because if you recall the very first case.
Yes.
In episode, I think it was episode 3, season 1 with the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
That made its way all the way to the High Court.
Yes.
So, of course, short answer is potentially anything.
Right.
Can go all the way up to the apex, as we call it, the apex of the hierarchical court structure is the High Court.
So, journey map this for me. It was accepted as a work coverage claim initially, or was rejected and fought and then won?
There was no argument that the council worker was a worker.
Yes.
There was no argument that she was engaged in work. There's no argument that when she went for a coffee, she was going for, that was within the scope of her employment, to have a coffee break. The issue was all about whether the puppy fence, the existence and placement of the puppy fence, was connected to work.
Right. So her original claim was accepted or was rejected and she appealed? It was accepted. So this has been the first appeal?
Yes.
Right, against it.
Okay. Well, in terms of judicial proceedings.
So I'm just journey mapping the proceedings.
Yeah, if you recall, the other cases we talked about had been also with respect to, remember the Bluey, the cattle dog that just jumped the fence and attacked the puppy. Again, the person was working from home. There's been no appeal in relation to that. So that was a successful workers' compensation claim. We've had various cases in the past. There was another one, the name escapes me, where I don't think we've talked about it here, but it was a manager who was told you just have to be on the phone. It's part of your job. He was in the toilets. Was on
And he's
torn a muscle. They've gone, well, you're in the bathroom. He goes, yes, but I literally took your
call.
It was a work call. And you said, answer the phone no matter what. And they challenged it. So when I say they, the employers, they challenged it to say, well, that's just unreasonable. He said, well, no, it was work-related.
Your request of me was unreasonable.
And you requested me, and he was awarded workers' compensation. So it's a
so
contest.
Messy, right?
Yeah.
So messy.
Yet all the facts are somewhat comparable. Home, slips, trips, falls, or mauls.
Cafe, or if you're walking in a, I work all over all kinds of places, right?
The sex one was a little bit out of the box, but be that as it may.
And we've talked about sports fields being your workplace. We've talked about,
But I'm just looking at the traditional, conventional. You've got a computer. And look, everyone's going to grab a cuppa and everyone's going to have usually a pet. So actually the environment is quite normal.
Right.
You've got a computer, internet access, a chair.
But very, very few of us are lucky enough to be able to take a pet into work.
No, that's right. Although there is a movement.
Into the brick and mortar workplace.
But have you noticed, it's changing. Have you noticed there is quite a bit of a movement? Because I see things on socials as take your pet to work. And we've talked about this, haven't we, in the past?
Special day or something,
on certain days you can bring in your dog. Mm-hmm. But for me, the issue I have with, of course, is slips, trips and falls and potentially bites.
Now, with all of these cases, there's an element of if you you may be successful in getting workers' comp under the statutory scheme,
yes.
So you can get the compensation according to scale.
Mm.
And then you may not be satisfied with that, and you might say, well, I want to bring a common law action and quite independently from your workers' compensation claim and seek further money. And so fault considerations are less important when, in fact, maybe not important at all under the statutory scheme, but when you bring the common law action, they do become important. Now, I just wanted to, with that sort of background, I've got another case I want to talk to you about.
Please.
And I want to get your thoughts on it, and I'm not going to tell you everything up front. So this is a Victorian case, and it's a decision in the County Court of Victoria. And what it's about is a worker who was injured wants to bring a common law action. So they want to... they are hoping that they can get a larger amount of compensation. And in order to bring the common law proceedings in Victoria, they had to get leave of the court. So it was the decision of the court was whether or not to grant leave. And the test for whether or not leave should be granted is whether or not there was a serious injury. So that's the test. Now, in this case, there was a worker who injured their right hand. They were the thumb on their right hand, and they were a right-handed worker. And they there was some aggravation of that injury in a gym, but there was no argument whatsoever that they had a serious injury to their thumb. There was some contest about how that impacted upon them. Now, this worker had also done some work on the side as a stripper.
As you do.
And for 7 years, been a stripper.
Wait, you always find the best stripper cases. Adult Entertainment Officer, AEO?
So if Cons
are bringing... That language is not used in the case. They don't shy away from the word stripper in this case.
It brings a new meaning to the word side hustle. Side hustler?
Hustler.
So part of this worker's performance that had been going on for 7 years was that they would do lap dances.
Okay.
Hang on, so they were side hustling for 7 years.
For 7 years.
They were stripping for
seven years.
Well, you get pro rata long service in some places.
They got COVID, and that had an impact on their heart, and there's a medical condition which I'm probably can't pronounce.
But hang on, before you go on, you've lost me at the thumb.
Yeah, the thumb. How did the thumb happen?
Wait, there's more.
There's a thumb injury.
Yeah, it's very important.
So the person works as, what's their primary job?
Stripper.
Sorry? No, primary job.
Worked in a construction company.
Okay.
Construction.
Yeah, well, we need your thumbs because you've got to do stuff with your thumb.
Oh, wait, you just gave me an image. A construction worker is also a stripper? Male?
Well, like the village people.
Yes.
Let me tell you more.
No, and that's like Magic Mike, the stripping movie that you didn't know about. There's Magic Mike 1, 2, 3.
Magic Mike.
So there's a he's a construction man. That's like the calendar, the stripper calendar.
Hold on, you're populating this with facts you don't know.
I'm just saying the images, they're flooding in right now.
Well, don't lock onto that image.
Okay, pause. One diversion. Because the images are flooding. I walked into an elevator, a lift, you say in Australia, an elevator in a Las Vegas casino, and I think I've told you guys this, and it was Halloween, walks in a guy wearing nothing but a tool belt, just barely covering his bits. Construction.
His tool belt.
And an old lady walks in there with me, and she looks behind him, and then gave me an eyebrows raise. And, well, there you go.
Well, young man.
Oh, young man.
Continue.
COVID had an impact on this worker's heart.
And that's the thing. They had to stop stripping
for a while, and then
heartbroken.
Then there was the injury. Now after this worker also had an interest in singing.
Oh,
and, okay. Singing, stripping. He might be making more money than construction.
Was quite good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And was
Australia's Got Talent.
Was promoted The singing stripping performance was promoted.
This is good.
Draw in that because there's apparently a following.
Well, construction man, stripper, all right. This Magic Mike, we got a thing.
This is a multitasker.
Singer, right?
And you keep saying man. I have not said that.
Australia's Got Talent. Could be a woman. Right. I said it could be a woman early on.
The women in construction.
WIC, yes, baby. Yes. That's a whole association, the Women in Construction Association.
But, and there was some discussion about whether a functioning thumb impacted upon performance.
Stripping?
Yes.
Yeah.
And holding a pole.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Getting down
and also,
as a plank
when you're doing
position.
A lap dance, there's some touching by the stripper to the person the dance is being performed. So touching shoulders and head and...
What do they touch, Alan?
Is that in the transcript?
All above waist level, according to the judgment.
According to the judgment. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, Alan.
So there was some discussion about that.
That's the thing about
the way the evidence played out, it looked as though this worker wasn't entirely true about the stripping they were doing after the injury.
Right. What does that mean?
Now,
what?
They were injured.
They injured their thumb. They were unable to work. They were off on workers' comp.
Oh.
But whilst they were off on workers' comp, they
still
did stripping performance.
Still stripping.
Oh,
we can't construction.
So the side hustle, the moonlighting job.
Actually continued.
Yeah.
So they lied and they said that they'd stop that? Is that what you're saying?
Well... I wouldn't go to be so strong as to say lie.
Intimated.
It seemed, at least the court seemed to think that that exaggerated.
So, did they have a PI following that person, checking out their stripping?
There was a lot of detail.
Mostly
off social media.
Yeah.
So I think what happened was
the digital record that we talked about.
The Bollywood dancing.
Yes,
dancing
the digital
with gusto.
Bollywood. Dancing.
The Coles worker
dancing with gusto.
So this worker had their own page where they were posting. Yeah. They posted at least one strip dance.
Right.
After the date of injury, and I think that led to further inquiries.
Okay. But,
it's a really important lesson for both young and not so young. This temptation to now suddenly. Get a dopamine hit and brag and boast on socials.
Be a social media star all the time,
yeah,
right?
Could get you unstuck. Yeah.
I've told you that I've had university professors look at their students' social profiles.
What? Why? I don't understand
and sway
that.
Sway their decisions, marking decisions.
That's outrageous.
I don't know how that's relevant.
No.
I didn't say it was.
I find that creepy.
Right?
That's just wrong. Now, workers' comp and saying that you're getting workers' compo and then going off, it's the classic case of they've injured their backs and then
employers can look at people's profile if it's public
but not lecturers.
Now, it sways people. I can't speak to what decisions it sways, but it does. So I'm saying is if you leave a social media mark, public social media mark, it's a record of any sort that can influence other people.
So I have an idea.
A little bit more information. So there was conflicting medical evidence, but there seemed to be no doubt whatsoever that it was a permanent partial injury. So there's no doubt that there was permanent injury to the thumb on the
bottom. What was the mechanism of injury? What did they do to injure their thumb?
Was that work?
At work.
Yeah, I know, so but
a
hammer it.
Hold on a second, I'm going to give you more information.
Okay, yeah, I'm waiting.
So the worker said, in terms of stripping, you can't do it forever. There comes a point in time when you're too old to strip and you just won't get people coming in to watch you.
Yes. Oh, grandma strippers, you never know. There could be a certain interest in that.
You just lose that. What are the words I'm looking for?
You lose currency.
Currency. That's very diplomatic.
The zing and the currency.
You lose currency because it's based on money, so you do lose currency.
Things are dropping.
Literally, you lose currency.
All right, so I found this case quite confronting. So what happened was at the end the court said that the injury was not a serious injury or didn't satisfy the serious injury test as to justify granting leave to bring criminal action. So that was the conclusion of the court.
Okay, so workers' compensation had run its course since you've been paid through, and this was the common law claim, of course, because it's before the courts. Yeah.
Yes.
I see.
And
I see. Not serious enough. There
and
you go.
The reason why I found it confronting was I thought, if you've got a worker who does strip shows on the side, which, and I accept as a principle that you can, you probably can't do that in like athletes, you've got a limited lifespan in which you can do that profession.
I still teach cycle and yoga and classes like that, and I'm planning to.
No, you're
to
doing
work
very
that.
Yeah, but you're extraordinary.
Perceived currency, but I'm going to keep pushing it till I can.
Well, you're exceptional.
You're while exceptional, I can, but I don't want to encourage you down this path.
No.
Okay. All right.
But here's the thing. So I wonder if there was no narrative around the stripping, so the side hustle. It could have been anything. It could have been working in Sideshow Alley, right? I wonder if there wasn't a side hustle, whether they maybe could have revisited the seriousness of the thumb injury, or was just the medical evidence simply that?
Well,
the
medical evidence may not have been strong enough, but in terms of, if you were looking at a person's ability to earn an income, and notwithstanding that they might be a very beautiful person, stripping and singing are not things that you know, unless you're exceptional, they're not things that you're going to make a lot of money out of.
Well, it's a gamble. It's like playing song lotto. Like you might get successful. You may win a competition, let's say on a talent show, or you may get a record deal.
Lotto. Wasn't Sylvester Stallone a
The Italian Stallion?
No. Wasn't Sylvester Stallone a star in porn movies before he became a star?
I think that was the case, but I'll always fact check it later. But I'm pretty sure the answer is yes.
I'm pretty sure the answer, and so you could have pathways toward entertainment pathways that are less common, and still you break through.
But I think
it's always the 1%.
But I think there was a talent there. The singing and the dancing combined is very much point of difference.
This worker did go for Australian Idol.
There you go.
So I said Australia. Good enough to go for Australia.
I said Australia's got talent. That's right.
So there you go. That's cool.
Okay, Australian Idol.
I think they were good enough to be able to put in an application, but didn't get chosen.
Did they went on television.
Get on television though?
No.
Did they get?
No, I don't think they were in on television.
Okay.
So they had a go, and that's the Aussie way.
Yeah, good on her.
You have a go. Fair go.
So
or her. Now, that's right.
Tell us the story now. What's the injury?
The bit that Sarah's already guessed, which I want to put to you, is: does it make any difference whether the worker is a man or a woman?
Oh, I don't know.
No, only for art.
So
for
if
early
they're doing a side hustle as stripping.
No,
I don't know. I just remember that song. I was about stripper in a go-go bar. By Man Parrish, 1986. It charted in Australia. It was about a stripper in a go-go bar.
I think social perceptions.
I don't know.
If it was male stripper in construction, they'd be like, "Woo, accolades," and a female might be looked down upon, unfortunately. But I don't think they should, if that's what you're asking.
You're right. It was right. You guessed it correctly. Yeah, it was male stripper.
Male stripper.
It was
there
male,
we go.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know what comes? You know what? In all of these cases, but put all the salacious stuff, put all the facts, put everything away. To me, it just brings out the human condition and the extraordinary differences we all have. Like for someone, you know, this is their life. They work construction by day, they sing and strip by night.
You probably enjoy the entertainment and the excitement that goes with it. It's fun, you know, it can be fun to be on stage.
But some suddenly people when it goes to the courts, it's forensically analysed that they're either they win or they lose, they're condemned or they're exonerated in terms of their moral.
You donate a kidney, you don't donate a kidney, you're judged, you jump on a stage to strip,
Humans are fascinating
project so much of our own expectations and values on other people and how they live their life, right?
Now, the lawyers that represented this worker was one of the leading law firms in this area.
There is a leading law firm in the area. In construction or in stripping or both?
The lawyers.
The lawyers are leaders in construction and stripping work.
And health and safety?
In common law claims.
Industrial matters, just leaders.
I thought they were leaders in this joint
business. Both law firms were leading law firms.
I do
wonder whether or not there could be an appeal.
Because
I think the decision is quite harsh.
Prosecution and defence are both leading, is that what you're telling me?
For the plaintiff and the defendant.
Because it's his right hand, and I think of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Red Right Hand.
How did they damage their...
It's not so much that.
Red Right Hand. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And that was in Peaky Blinders.
Correct. And I'm thinking of this fellow's Red Right Hand.
I'm just thinking that the work that this worker was able to do on the side...
Yes.
...was not the sort of work that you would consider would be sustainable for the rest of their life.
And there's a missed opportunity now, because the Christmas party... He could have sung.
Entertained.
So, well, thank you for being diplomatic. He could have entertained.
So, wait. What was the mate? Does it say the mate was injured? How was his thumb hurt? And how bad was it hurt? Was it mutilated?
He was installing some guttering.
Yeah.
Guttering.
Yeah.
And in the process of installing the box guttering, he lost control of it, got out of balance, slipped, and under the weight of the box guttering it hyper-extended his thumb.
Ow!
Ooh.
And,
so just a sprain or broken or what?
Serious.
So he was bent right back.
Yes. So it could be a sprain, dislocated.
Well, even a torn ligament would be worse than a bloody break.
But can I just say, the thumb is incredibly important for any manual task. Opposition, flexion, extension, right? Look, you know... what we do with our hands, manual work. This person is doing manual work, and to operate hand tools, etc. He needs a thumb.
On his dominant hand.
Yeah, that's right.
If you remember the chart, the value of the thumb.
The value of the thumb.
When the PI claimed to give a percentage and a portion of the thumb was extraordinarily high compared to, say, the pinky.
Abduction.
And the other thing, too, is an application for leave to appeal. So it wasn't a final determination. It was just whether or not... the worker was allowed to go on and have their case.
Which court was that?
Victorian.
Can you explain that to me? Dumb it down.
So they had to get permission to run their court case. So they had to get the permission of the court.
Oh, is it serious enough? I should be covered for a workover claim?
No, is it serious enough for the court to listen to the argument?
So he wasn't even given
his day in court.
I think I'm hearing you say that this might have been dismissed because there's a value judgment around the fact that they're stripping also.
Oh, no.
Well, I think if the worker... If the worker had a second job as an architect or something like that, which could be a job that earns you a good income and you could do for the rest of your life, I would understand the decision then. But I don't believe stripping... is something that can earn you a good... Unless you're exceptional, it's not something that you're going to earn a good money from for the rest of your life.
Some strippers earn some good money.
Yeah, there's always an exception.
So they're just complaining about the loss of income from stripping or from the construction work?
No, they were saying that they should be compensated because couldn't do the trade work.
The additional work.
Yeah. So... And really, we move the focus off you. If we moved on to Trage, I think Trage would make a better income as a professor at ACU than he would as a stripper.
Oh, you never know. Some people like the Count. The Count, as he comes out in his cape.
I've got a cape.
He's Ziggy with a cape.
I've got the tools in the trade.
In season one, we tease about him in high heels. So we got high heels, a cape, and Ziggy nickname.
He could put on quite a show.
Alan,
don't be so judgy.
Not so judgy.
All right. That's an excellent one.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah, and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe. And we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.
That
was just ad-libbing. Oh, here we are again. How did we start this?
Can we take a break?
How do we start this? All right.
I think we need to have a thing.
Let's do a red light.
We check it.
When you announce
preempt.
like yeah. 5 minutes in that you're not recording. Yeah. You need to run around the university naked or something.
Or ring
something
the bell.
To, or maybe we do some voice.
Oh, seriously, it was on and then off and then on and then off. It is definitely on.
I'll check for a while for you.
Oh, no, it's on.
Does anyone mind don't go into the toilet?
Yeah, go to the toilet.
You go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet. No, no, what's the little red light. The little red light was on, but of course, when you're in the zone, this is what when you've got a producer, they go.
I think it was a good practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a good practice. Actually, it was a good practice because we can read, yeah.